he said, and conjured up an embarrassed smile. All right, you've caught me out. The truth is, I didn't think to check the power cell charge levels on my city bike. I'm afraid it was either land here so you could give me a spare, or crash. Dex's patrons snickered and giggled and made kindly rude comments in a handful of different tongues.
I take it all back, Obi-Wan, said Dex, making up to the crowd. You're not a hero. You're a rollicking Noski.
An idiot. That was nice. Look, I hope you don't mind, Dex, but I've parked the wretched bike out front. Another gravelly laugh.
No, I don't mind, so long as you pay the fine if an inspector notices it.
Yes, of course, no need to worry about that. But I don't wish to get you into trouble, so about the power cell. Dex hitched up his sagging trousers.
Oh, sure, sure, I can spare you a power cell, Obi-Wan. But do you mind waiting a little while? I'm still a bit busy.
Of course, Obi-Wan said, all good-natured courtesy. I'll stand outside with the bike just in case an inspector happens by.
Good idea, said Dex, the genial host. Take a rest from your heroics, and I'll be right with you.
By the straightest line, the Galarb District's Cocoa Town was some 49 sectors distant from the temple. The diner was located near the area's main transport hub, which guaranteed Dex a steady stream of hungry customers. Pedestrians and ground cars flowed past without a break, heading to and from the main transport interchange. Multi-story buildings towered all around the strip, but the diner itself sat in full sunshine, offering a panoramic view across the city planet. Obi-Wan lounged against the diner wall, enjoying the sunshine and idly perusing the faces of the passersby. It wasn't long, however, before he realized he was being perused in return. And not just perused, recognized, pointed at, whispered about, double-talked and noticed. Because, just like Dex said, he was a hollow-net star now. It was all Palpatine's fault. An inevitable result of the Supreme Chancellor's relentless drive to put faces to the names of the Jedi fighting for the Republic's survival, a drive that had culminated in the continuous looped reporting of the war via the Holonet News Service. And since the Jedi were playing such a prominent role in the conflict, Yoda and Mace Windu had spoken forcefully against the notion, but Palpatine had been charmingly obdurate. The Jedi were heroes of the Republic, selflessly fighting in the name of peace. People should know this. Besides, only by making the Jedi known to every sentient on Coruscant in the whole Republic could they be sure of consolidating the groundswell of support for the fight against the Separatists.
People cannot love an abstract, Palpatine had said. But thanks to the Holonet, they will come to love the Jedi. Masters, you must trust me. In this matter, I know precisely what I'm doing.
Yoda and Mace Windu had not conceded the argument, but somehow it had happened anyway. And as a result, Obi-Wan Kenobi had lost his comfortable anonymity. Acutely aware of the attention he was attracting, he flipped his hood back over his face and tried to vanish within the Force. Unfortunately, it didn't help much. He could still hear the whispering, the sound of feet slowing on the sidewalk as gawkers stopped to stare. This is ridiculous, he thought. I should have insisted Dex meet me at the temple. In the faint hope that he could avoid further notoriety, he turned his back to the sidewalk and ground car strips and began tinkering with the perfectly functional city bike. A few moments later, a droid joined him, wearing a diner cap and carrying a fresh power cell and a clunky, battered toolbox.
Dex says you need these, it said.
He nodded. Yes, I do, thank you. Just put them down where you are.
Sorry,
said the droid.
Dex says take your repairs around the back.
Away from passersby where there was a hint of privacy. Oh, of course,